before we get started and before I open us up with a prayer, you know, these are certainly different times that we're living in, unique times. We're navigating day by day on what's happening. And I think for all of us, we can say there's times when, you know, we're trusting in the Lord, and then there's times where we're a little concerned. Sometimes we watch the news and we see things that they're saying and the things that are happening on in New York and California and Washington, and we're wondering, you know, what's going to happen. And every time I get a little anxious, every time I get a little bit nervous, I have to keep reminding myself that God is in total control. Amen. God knows this was coming. God knew this was coming. He knows it was going to happen. And so we just got to trust in him. And so over the week, as I've been praying and things, different verses have come to mind. And I just wanted to share a few verses that I think help us to remember what's really important. Help us to remember what's really important. So John chapter 14 and verse 27 says this: "Peace I leave with you," Jesus speaking, "peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, we can read a verse like that and we can think about, oh, Jesus said that, but are we experiencing that peace? Are we experiencing that assurity that our hearts don't have to be troubled in these times? I think we have to be concerned. I think we have to be wise. We need to make sure that we stay away from people, that we're washing our hands, we're keeping things clean, and doing the things that we're told to do. But we also need to realize that Jesus is our peace. And anytime I get a little anxious, anytime I get a little worried perhaps, I just have to remember, okay, God's in control. Jesus is my Savior. Another verse, Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Again, setting our mind on the things of God, setting our minds upon the Word of God throughout the week, having different conversations with different people. It was so encouraging just to encourage others and to be encouraged. You know, other pastors encouraged me, other people in our church encouraged me, and myself doing the very same thing, encouraging others and just experiencing that peace because our mind is on God. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes you can start watching the news and you can get consumed with all the facts, consumed with all the things that are out there, all the stories, and all the bad things that are happening that we forget, that we're working hard to overcome this. And so obviously we've had to do a few different things in our lives, change things, and I'll get to more of that in my message. But I mean, this is what we have to deal with right now. And so we need to be trusting in God. And then here's another one, Psalm 56, verse 3. "Whenever I'm afraid..." Have you been afraid at all this week? Has there been a time when you were fearful or concerned? "Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you," the psalmist says. So again, one last verse just to remind us. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." So our trust needs to be in God. And so as a church, I just want to remind all of us that our focus needs to be on God and not on these other things. Again, watch the news to get update, but don't be consumed by it. Spend time in prayer, spend time in the Word, spend time, you know, speaking with other believers to be encouraged by them, because that's what we need to do to endure this. I believe that we will get through this. I believe, I don't know how long it'll take, but I do believe we'll get through it. And with God's help, we'll get through it. And I think we'll be stronger and better. So that is my hope and my prayer. So let's remember to think of others. Let's remember to reach out to others that maybe we haven't talked to in a while or haven't seen in a bit. So I hope that's encouraging to you. In Acts chapter 16, I've entitled today's message, Faithfulness. What I see in this chapter is faithfulness, especially in these five verses that we're going to look at this morning, is the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of his people. And it's just a reminder for all of us to be faithful. So before we get into the Word, would you pray with me, please? Father God, we thank you for technology. We thank you for the ability to come here to the Martin Center and to be able to worship and to share a message and through technology stay connected to the body. And I thank you for each and every person who is tuned in right now. And God, I pray for them specifically. I pray that their hearts would be steadfast. I pray that their hearts would be in your hands. I pray that they would be seeking after you and seeking after your truth, and your assurance that you're with us and that you will get us through this. And until the time that we can get back to meeting together, God, I pray that we would do our best to be mindful of others. Perhaps it's for the first time spending so much time with family that we haven't been able to do. We always talked in the days before all of this how busy we were. Well, certainly now we're busy, but now we're having to stay with loved ones. And so I pray that we would take advantage of that time. I pray, God, that you would give wisdom to the authorities, to those who are looking to find a vaccine for this virus, to help those who are sick. We lift up those in our country that are struggling with this virus. We pray, God, that you would heal them. We pray that you would just pour out your grace and your mercy upon this world and remove this virus right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, help us all to be wise in the things that we're doing, the decisions that we're making, even as we go to the grocery stores and find empty shelves. Lord, may we just continually be reminded that you are our provision and that you will carry us through. We know that greater days are ahead. We look to those days, Lord, because you hold them in your hand. So bless this time as we look into your word. Bless it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I read the story of Michelangelo. And Michelangelo, as you know, he painted the frescoes on the 68-foot high ceiling in the Sistine Chapel. He spent countless hours on his back on scaffolding as he painted it, carefully perfecting the details of each figure. A friend of his asked him one time, "Why do you take so much effort and detail in figures that really hardly anyone is ever going to be able to see? All these fine details. After all, who it will know whether it's perfect or not?" his friend told him. And Michelangelo looked at him and said, "But I'll know. But I'll know." And when it comes to faithfulness, and in my opinion, faithfulness is revealed when you're faithful when you're by yourself. See, many times we can be faithful around others. Many times we can be faithful when other people are looking. But are we faithful when we're by ourselves? Michelangelo grasped it and said, no, it has to be perfect because I'll know it's wrong. And certainly we know God sees everything. And my hope is that our faithfulness to the Lord would be something that's evident to others. See, God is such a faithful God. And as followers of God, as followers of Christ, we are to be faithful as well. And so in this time that we're living in, we need to find ourselves faithful to God, to be faithful to communicate to others that hope and that encouragement that we need. We all need it, and especially in these times ahead. And I hope through this time that we're in that we learn to be encouraging to others, that we learn to reach out to others more than we ever have before. I can remember Pastor RJ sitting in the room here. I can remember when we went to Peru the first time. When we came back, we were more of a hugging church than we were before because the people in Peru taught us to hug and to embrace. And so we learn these things to encourage each other. So look with me, if you will, in Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 11. Just these five verses. We read, "Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days." Now, just stop at those two verses. As I've, again, studying this week, this area of Scripture, this is Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. And they're on their way to Macedonia because in the verses before that, in verse 9, Paul had seen a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, "Come and help us." And here we see in verses 11 and 12 that they immediately got in the boat and started heading there. And now here's the thing that I really found interesting. Here's a map of the area. I don't know if we can blow that up. But there's a map here of Macedonia, the area where they went. From Troas to Philippi is some 130 miles. Now, the Bible tells us they made it there in 2 days, which shows us that God's will and God's purposes were with them. Because honestly, on the way back in Acts chapter 20, we're going to see for them to travel back, it says, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them in Troas. So it took them 2 days to get there, 5 days to return. I find this very evident in my life. When I am doing the will of God, when I am in the will of God and fulfilling the call that God has on my life, He has my back. He helps me get to where I need to be. Now, here's something I want us to think about. Do you find yourself looking more at the destination or enjoying the journey to the destination? Think about it. I don't know what's happening in your life. We're all looking at a day in the future for an opportunity for this virus to be gone and us to get back to life as normal. But I would encourage all of us to really focus in on today. Focus in on this moment. Focus in on the journey that's going to get us there. I do believe we'll get there. But are we taking advantage of this time that we're in? As these guys were in the boat traveling, there's no details other than they went there. But there is no doubt in my mind that Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke were being used by the Lord in that process. I bet they were ministering to the people on the boat. I bet they ministered to the people on the island of Samothrace because they were in the moment. And I love the fact that the Bible says, you know what? They spent some days there. They didn't just jump into ministry. They were spending time in fellowship. Don't we all sometimes wish the clock would just slow down a little bit? Don't we all wish that sometimes we could take a little bit more time? And relax. And I want to encourage us all. Faithfulness to God's plan means being in the moment. Yes, there was a call upon their lives. Yes, they were called to go to Macedonia and they were being obedient and immediately went there. But I also believe we have to focus in on the process of us getting there. I've seen it time and time again. How many stories have we seen throughout the week on the news of people doing good deeds for other people? I remember seeing one story of some women help bringing groceries to some elderly neighbors. Or actually there was someone, I think it was a 93rd birthday party for an old lady. These school kids used to drive by her house, and every day she'd be out on her porch waving hi to the students in the school bus. And they literally stood out on the street with signs saying happy birthday to this woman. Again, there's good things happening in the midst of this difficulty. And I don't want us to miss those opportunities. I don't want to miss an opportunity that God's going to give to me to encourage someone. And I've encouraged the pastors in our church. Reach out to people in our church. Check in with them. I've been so blessed of the several gentlemen that I reached out to this week to be able to talk to them and encourage them and then pray with them. It's so, so important. And I pray that doesn't stop. I pray that we do that on a regular basis because this is faithfulness to God's plan. And these guys were faithful to God's plan. I wrote this down. Sometimes we're so busy getting to the destination that we missed the opportunities along the way. We think, well, once I get there, wherever there is, whenever I graduate, whenever I get that new house, whenever I get that new job, or are we so focused on the destination that we're missing the journey? You know, I'll give you a bit of an update on the church property. Please be in prayer for it. We believe that closing is supposed to happen Wednesday at 11 o'clock. So pray that goes well. But it's been quite a week trying to get this thing to close with insurance and making sure we have insurance on the property and on the home. And it was promised to me on Monday, and then it was promised Tuesday, and then it was promised Wednesday. Didn't come until Friday. And in the process, sometimes we can get so overwhelmed. But I also believed in that process of stress, because we all deal with it in our lives, in the process of that stress and waiting and expecting other people to do what they said they would do, I was able to encourage our real estate agents and say, God's got this. It's going to happen. So we have to trust. So it's a constant remembering that God's plan overrides our plans. God's plan overrides your plan. It says that they were staying in that city for some days. How interesting it is to me that these four men, mighty men of God, didn't just get to the location and jump right into ministry. How many times do we say that, Pastor RJ? Sometimes we are so busy in the doing, we miss the being. We miss the time to just be. I was so grateful for our time this morning praying before the service started. I could just sense the presence of the Holy Spirit because our hearts are right, right? The six of us in this building wanted to wrap arms around each other and pray together, but we knew we shouldn't touch each other. See, we got to live in the moment. So I encourage you right now. I know you're looking at this coming week. What's the news going to be Monday? You know, all these rumors that we're hearing, we can't be moved by rumors. We must find ourselves seated in fact. So as we look to this coming week, let's make sure we're looking for those opportunities to reach out to someone, to reach out to someone and to bless someone. Look at verse 13. It says, on the Sabbath, so after they've been there some days, verse 13, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who we met there. So in this verse, we see such an important thing in Christian faith, the importance of prayer, the faithfulness to prayer. I just love the fact that Paul and his party went to the riverside to join in a prayer meeting. Most cities that they would go to in those days, if there were 10 Jewish heads of households, there would be a temple. There would be a place to meet and to have church. But if there wasn't 10 people there, they would meet by the riverside. They would meet in open air meetings. It was believed that they gathered under the sky and near water so that other Christians would know where to meet. So it was very natural for Paul and his party to come there and to meet with them. But notice it says here, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside, notice this, where prayer was customarily made. What an interesting statement. Where prayer is customarily made. It was known that when you entered into a city, there was a place that you would go where prayer was made. I love that. I would hope in a church as a customary place where prayer is made. But where in your life is prayer customarily made? Around the dinner table, around a meal, at lunchtime? Do you pray when you have an urgent need? Do we pray more now that with the virus that we don't get sick? Are we praying more during difficult times? Or I'm going to submit to us, we should be praying all the time. Right? Bible tells us, pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. I believe this statement should be the earmark of all Christians. When I get around Pastor RJ, that's where prayer is customarily made. When I get around Pastor Larry, that's where prayer is customarily made. Places that we've created, people that we connect to, that prayer is going to happen. When I first got saved, there was a gentleman, we used to call him Camel Knees because the man always prayed. He was always on his knees in prayer. We called him Camel's Knees. Because no matter what you did when you were around him, he said, well, let's pray. You know, you could just basically say hi to the guy. Well, let's pray. But that's what he was so accustomed to. He was accustomed to being a person of prayer. I want to be known, as a person of prayer. I want to be known as someone that people can come to me and know they're going to get prayed for. Are you that person? Are you a person that people would come to you for prayer? Gosh, I hope so. How many people do you know in your life that have asked you, please be praying for me. Please be praying for me. Pray for this for me. Do you take the time in that moment to pray for them? Customarily, prayer. Notice it says also, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who we met there. It's just interesting to me that Paul and his team go to this prayer meeting, and they just sit down and talk. They had no reason to be there other than to bring good news of the good news of Jesus Christ. They sat there and talked. It doesn't even say what they talked about. But you can bet your bottom dollar that Paul and his team were there to talk about Jesus Christ. They were there to talk about the gospel, the Lord, speak about God, the hope of heaven. Do you know how hard it is to worry about the virus when you're focusing on heaven, when you're focusing on God, when your focus is on Jesus? Right? I mean, the classic story is Peter coming out of the boat, right? Walking on water. As long as his focus was on Jesus. I was just talking to someone this week about that. It's like the fact that Peter had the faith to tell Jesus, to tell, command him to come out onto the water. I just think that it shows an amazing faith. Short-lived faith, perhaps, but it was faith nonetheless. Connect with others during this time. I can't say it enough. I just think it's so, so very important. And we can do that today. I mean, it's amazing. Through social media, through text messages, through, I mean, phone calls. I mean, I'm not a big FaceTime person or a Skype person, but man, more and more, we're doing meetings via FaceTime. We're doing meetings with Skype. We have new opportunities to still stay connected. I used to always call it unsocial media, but in the days that we're living right now, we need it. It's the only social connection that we may have with people. So find those things. During this time, I read this week, during this time of social distancing is an opportunity for us to get spiritually closer. During this time of social distancing, we have an opportunity to be spiritually closer. Think about that. Think about the opportunity that God may give you to connect with someone else. I've written it down. Text someone a prayer. Call to talk to them. I mean, we still have phones, thank God. And here's another thing. It's so important. If you're going to the grocery store, if you're having to go to a doctor's office or something, be sure to be thankful to the people that are working. For many of us who aren't working anymore, for many of us that are having to stay home because we can't work, when we go to the grocery store, these people are putting themselves on the front lines. These are people on the front lines, and we need to be saying, thank you for being here. They're probably getting more questions as to where toilet paper is and how we can get water than they are people saying, thank you for being here. Take those opportunities to thank people at the grocery store, to thank the medical personnel, police and fire. You know, our first responders, reach out to them. In this time of such uncertainty, it's a great opportunity for all of us to count our blessings. To count our blessings. Let's see, where is it? Ephesians 1:3 says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's verses like these that we have to be reminded of them, that God has given us every spiritual blessing. We can certainly focus on the things that we don't have and be consumed with frustration, or we can focus on the things that we do have in God and find that peace that God promises us. Faithfulness to God. And then our church verse that I've always loved this verse, 2 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Anybody having a hard time rejoicing in these times? I would imagine as finances get tighter, I would imagine difficulty paying bills and uncertainty on how you're going to make your mortgage. Rejoice always? So is the Bible telling us that we're to rejoice in this time? I think it is. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Certainly we need prayer. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything. We don't thank God for the virus, but we thank God that he's going to carry us through this time of the virus. What a great reminder 2 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 is. To rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything to give thanks. I am thankful to God that he's in my life. I'm thankful that he has saved me. I'm thankful that he's putting godly men and women in my life to encourage me. This is what we must be doing. These women were coming to the riverside to pray, and prayer is so, so important during these times. I even wrote this down. Revival happens when people go to God in prayer. And I would love to believe that at the end of all this craziness, that revival will happen. Because why? Because the body of Christ is praying, because people are praying. If you're scared, pray. If you know someone who is hurting, pray for them. It's going to take prayer. I mean, many times tragedy happens in the church, and that causes us to be more faithful. So perhaps God is using this to make sure that we stay faithful to him. God knows what he's doing. God knows what's going to happen. We need to seek him for that answer. Last two verses, verses 14 and 15. Say, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. I don't know how much persuasion it took for Paul and them to go to the house, but the last thing, we see is make sure you're faithful in the process. The second thing is faithful in prayer. And the third thing, very simple, be faithful to the Lord. Faithful to the Lord. I mean, this woman, she was a worshiper of God. She was a Gentile. She was a worshiper of God. But she did not have Jesus in her life. So even though she worshiped God, even though she came to the riverside for prayer, she still needed to be saved. She still needed to give her life to Jesus Christ. She was close. She was almost there, but not quite. So Paul sits down, and they talk with the women, and they pray with the women, and he shares about Jesus, and Lydia's heart is opened. And I love that statement that the text tells us, the Lord opened her heart. God has the ability to harden hearts, but he also has the ability to open hearts. It is my prayer that God would open my heart to what he's doing, what he wants to accomplish in these times. It's my prayer that all of us would come to the Lord in prayer and say, God, open our hearts to what we can do. There's so many needs. There's so many things that we can be doing. But what does God want you to do? How does God want you to respond in this? How are you going to get through? My prayer is, God, open my heart to more of the things of you. Lydia was not only a Gentile and a proselyte, she also was a businesswoman. And she didn't allow business to get in the way. She actually was such a good businesswoman, she persuaded Paul and them to stay at her house. See, the reason people will come to the Lord is because God opens their heart. I can give a very theological and scriptural reference to how you must believe in Jesus Christ and how you must have a relationship with him and how he died on a cross for you and how he rose on a third day so that we would have that hope of heaven. I can tell you all of those things, and you may be intellectually equipped to understand those things, but until God opens your heart to them, you'll never be saved. God has to open, and he wants all to come to saving grace of Jesus Christ. Paul told the church at Corinth that people rejected this gospel because their minds had been blinded. He writes this in 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. During these days that we live, don't let your heart get hard. Don't let your heart be moved from the truth of who God is and who Jesus is. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us right now. He is with you right now. And he will get us through. We are the ones that have the hope of this message. The Christians are the ones that are to be telling the world, don't worry, God's in control. Yes, will people die? Yes, will Christians die? Yes, it will happen. But we are never promised anything in this world. But we are promised much if our faith and faith and hope is in Jesus Christ. Let God open your heart. Let him comfort you during this time. Be reminded that he's with you. And just like it says, let his light shine on you. Let his light shine on you. When I was spending some time this morning in prayer, I was like, Lord, just shine your goodness upon me. And it almost moved me to tears. I mean, I was so emotional as I'm spending time praying to God because of his presence was so close that our eyes would not be blinded. And again, I just want to point out in verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. Don't forget that people are listening. Don't forget there's people listening to you. I got an email this morning from one of my family members. And they were just sharing their heart and sharing what was going on. And they were a little discouraged. And it's like, those are the opportunities for us as believers. Because I believe that's when people are just reaching out. They want to hear something from us. They want to hear some word of encouragement from us. And maybe some of these verses that you hopefully you've written down will encourage you and but also encourage someone else. The opportunity that we have, that people are listening, they want to hear. What do the Christians say? You know? I mean, we can look at this and some Christians probably think it's the wrath of God. Some people probably think we're in the tribulation. Listen, if I'm still here, we're not in the tribulation. Oh, well, they're laughing at me. But I think it's certainly a sign of the times that we're living in. And it's a reminder for all believers to be ready. To be ready to be with the Lord. But I don't think I don't believe this is the end. I believe this is an opportunity for us as a church to rise up and give the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ to people. God's going to give us opportunities. Take those opportunities. Lydia was so thrilled with her newfound faith that she said, listen, if you found me faithful, come stay with me. If you found me acceptable, what a heart. What a heart of service. I mean, just literally is open to the truth of who Jesus Christ is, and immediately she wants to serve her friends. Do you know how important it is when you bring encouragement to another person's life? How thankful they are that God used you? Those are the opportunities I believe that God gives to us. And so she gives her life to Christ. What's interesting to me is the man of Macedonia in Paul's vision actually turned out to be a woman. It's interesting. I wrote this down. God will use many unusual ways to get you to do his will. Maybe God's will for your life is to reach out to that neighbor. Maybe it is to reach out to that coworker. Maybe you needed this time, this season, this week in order to get you in a place where you're finally going to reach out to that person. Don't hold back. Let God's will be done in your life. Paul and his team allowed God to use them. They were obedient to go in the direction that God wanted them to go. They met a person there, and we're going to see others through this chapter, to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. So that's what we need to be concerned with. That's what we need to be focused on. I just want you to look at verse 16 real quickly. We'll talk about it next time. But in verse 16, after all this happens, it says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. And the reason I read this verse is because in the beginning of that verse, we went to prayer. Notice Paul and his team. When they get to Macedonia, they go to the river to pray. After Lydia gives her life to Christ, they're found again going into prayer. Prayer is the very thing that's going to help carry us through. And I've told the pastors and those that are here this morning that I'd like to do is close our service a little bit early so we could spend time praying. Because yes, the word of God, encouragement. God, help us to be faithful. Help us to do what you call us to do. Help us to reach out to others. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to see the good in the midst of difficulty. But how much more important is this for us to come together, being encouraged by the word of God, to spend time praying? And I can't believe I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you my cell phone number, and if you want to send in a prayer request, we'd love to pray for you. If you're going through something, if there's something happening in your life, text us. My number is 615-642-6455. 615-642-6455. We're going to spend some time in prayer this morning, and we're going to leave the stream going so you can participate with us. We want you to be praying with us. But if you have a prayer request, send it in now. So I'm going to ask everybody to come on forward. We're going to pray and spend time praying together, praying for this virus that it would go away and that we would be used by God however he sees fit.